Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday, December 20th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. And I have my buddy here, Cole Shelton, to help me break down some of the news from last night. And you broke some of the news, Cole. So you know what, man? I'm going to give you the floor, man. Tell me what news you broke last night. And we'll talk about that fight in a second, but I want to just give you the floor and talk about what you broke last night.
Yeah, headlining UFC Norfolk on February 29th will be Joseph Benavidez fighting Devson Figueiredo for the title. At the time, I didn't know if it would be interim or vacant.
Flyweight
title.
Yep.
At the time, the source didn't know if it was going to be for the interim or the vacant. They just got told, but it's a title fight headlining the card, and then later on it got announced that obviously Cejudo relinquished the belt.
Yeah, good stuff, Ben. It's not easy to break fights these days. The UFC, let's be honest, Cole, they feed their information to like certain reporters, mostly the guys at ESPN and maybe some of the other outlets. For instance, Canadian Press here in Canada, they get a lot of the fights as well right from the UFC. So it's tough to break fights. I have broken a couple in the past, like not too many to be completely honest with you. A few years ago, I broke a few fights. For some card, I think it was like in New Jersey or something. It was a long time ago. It was like 7 or 8 years ago. And then I broke a Jordan Mean fight a few years ago that got changed right before the UFC announced it. And I look like an idiot, but because I only got 50% of the fight right. But it is what it is. It's tough, man. So I wanted to say, you know, good job with that. You obviously got a lot of props on social media anyway, so you don't need any more of that. But I do want to talk about that fight in a second. The funny thing is, Cole, so yesterday, Aaron Bronson, who's a good friend of mine, he asked me to come down to TSN and do a roundtable with myself, Chamath Kharsandhu of the PFL, formerly of ESPN, Alex Lee of MMA Fighting, Nick Baldwin of The Score, and Aaron, of course. And one of the questions was, like, what are your hot takes for the next year, and what are you guys thinking about for the flyweight division? A lot of us said, like, the flyweight division wouldn't, like, be around, but if it was, we could see Figueiredo against Benavidez. That's what I said, right? And I was like, I think this is going to happen. Chamath was like, oh, no, Henry Cejudo will hold on the belt by the end of the year. That prediction didn't even hold for 24 hours, Cool, because this news came out. So it was kind of ironic that we were talking about this yesterday and all of a sudden the news breaks. So I want to talk about your fight in a second, but before we talk about that, we have to obviously talk about the news. Cejudo has vacated the title. So he probably was going to be stripped of it. I think it's one of those situations where he just jumped ahead of it and was like, you know, I'll just vacate it before the UFC goes and strips me. Like when Dillashaw vacated his belt for the when he tested positive, he went and vacated and he sent a message out. He would have been stripped the next day. This is the same thing here. The UFC was planning on announcing this fight, I'm assuming, probably in the next couple of days. And Cejudo obviously found out word of it. I'm sure from Ali. I'm sure Ali, you know, tipped him off. Hey, they're going to book this fight. You're going to lose your belt. You might as well just go and vacated. So he's vacated the title. And it's an interesting move, but I think the right one. That division's been held up for a while. Cole, I don't think he defended the belt, right? Like he won it for money. He was never defended.
He defended against Dillashaw in January.
Oh, okay. You're right. My bad. See, I keep thinking that it was Cejudo moving up to 135 for that. It was actually Dillashaw moving down. And obviously he was taking some PEDs to help make that weight. You're right. So he did defend it earlier this year. He knocked him out. And then he won the bantamweight belt from Marlon Moraes. So one title defense in like what, a year?
It would be a year in January.
Yeah, it's not like super unreasonable. I mean, there's a lot of guys that go a whole year without defending their belts at all, so not ideal, but at the same time, he wasn't planning on defending it probably this year at all, so it's the right move for him to let go of the belt, and now the division moves on without him. And for Cejudo, it makes sense because there's just honestly, Cole, like there's good fighters at 125, including the guys we'll talk about in a second here, but there's no real money fight. The only thing about Benavidez in that fight was it was revenge, right? Like, because they fought before, he lost. There was some, I think it was like an illegal low blow that led to a point deduction, and Benavidez won a split decision. Not sure how the fight would have played out if that point wasn't deducted. I'm assuming it would have been a split for Cejudo. I haven't looked back at the scorecard for that. But other than that, Cole, like, what was the point of him sticking around? Like, to fight Davison Figueiredo? Like, I think Davison's a really good fighter, but he's not a draw at all, so it doesn't make sense. 135, though, Cole, for Henry Cejudo. You got Jose Aldo. He's calling him up, the King of Rio. He wants to fight him. You got rematch with Marlon Moraes. You got Aljamain Sterling. You got Peter Yan.
Dominic Cruz is always out there.
Dominic Cruz, Uriah Faber. Like, there's a lot of big fights for Henry Cejudo. Frankie Edgar, we even mentioned him.
In a year time, Dillashaw's back. Like
Dillashaw. There's a lot of fights. Yeah, a rematch, that'd be interesting too at 135. So there's a lot of fights up there, and it makes sense. Bigger fights, bigger money fights. So it's the right move. Okay. So we've got that news out of the way. And I'm assuming you agree with me, by the way, like as far as that stuff. Yeah. Okay. So I do want to talk about the fight between Benavidez and Figueiredo. So this is gonna be for the vacant title. And it's the fight that makes sense. It's the number, it's I think the next two guys ranked in that division.
It's one and three. I think Pantoja's two.
Is he really? Okay. Why?
But Pantoja's coming off that loss to the knockout loss to Benavidez.
It's actually Formiga. Because
Pantoja.
All right, no worries. Figueiredo and Pantoja fought at UFC 240 in July in Edmonton. It was a great fight, one of the best fights of the year. Figueiredo won. So Formiga also beat Figueiredo, I think it was last year, earlier in the year. So yeah, that the rankings actually do make sense. But at the same time, Formiga's fought Benavidez before twice, didn't win either fight. So that fight would have made no sense. This fight makes a lot of sense. I like this matchup, Cole. I'm glad to see Benavidez getting another chance to fight for the belt in the UFC. He waited a long time for this. He deserves it. But I gotta be honest, Cole, I think this is a tough matchup for Joseph Benavidez. Like, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be favored. People are going to expect him to win, and he will be the favorite in this fight. But I have a feeling Davis Figueiredo could pull this off, man. So give me your thoughts on this matchup.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is this is supposed to happen at 233 before that card got canceled. So we would have already seen it. But it's a tough – I expect Benavidez to probably be like a – it's. I don't expect him to be a big favorite. I do expect him to be a favorite, like minus 150, minus 160-ish, like just because of the name. It's good to see him get another title shot. He's been the best flyweight for years other than Demetrius Johnson, and he had the fights against Johnson and lost, so he wasn't going to get another one. Once Cejudo won, I thought that was perfect for him because he already has the win, and then obviously Cejudo went to bantamweight. So it's really good to see Benavidez get another title shot. But Figueiredo is good. Like, I'm really high on Figueiredo. He is – it's going to be interesting to see how he looks in five rounds. Obviously, Benavidez has more experience going five rounds. It's going to be interesting to see what his cardio looks like, but every fight, like at the end of three rounds, he doesn't look tired at all. Like, he looks like he can go longer. I think this probably goes the distance. I couldn't see either of them finishing unless it's going to be like a late finish, but I'm really excited for this fight. I think this fight's going to be great.
Yeah, it's a good fight for sure. And you're right. The five rounds probably favors Joseph a little bit because he has that experience. He fought DJ for five rounds back in Toronto. I saw that fight. And also Dominic Cruz in WBC 10 years ago. The only problem I have with him is, like, man, he's getting up there in age. Like, Stevenson's 32, but Joseph is 35, Cole. So he's way up there in age now. He's not a young guy by any means. And, yeah. And by the way, Stevenson turned 32 2 days ago. So this is like a good birthday present for him. Good for him. Joseph is a great fighter and one of the best, probably one of the most underrated fighters in UFC history, to be completely honest with you. Like, if you look at his resume, Cole, it's really good. The problem is he lost twice to DJ. He did lose that fight to Pettis. I think that was a lot of that had to do with playoff. Since then he's looked great. The last three fights he's looked really good in. Coming off a nice win over Formiga, also beat Perez and Ortiz. And like I said, he does have that win over Cejudo. So he's got experience. He's got the wins. He's got everything, man. He's an excellent fighter. I just think that he's gonna have to take this fight to the ground because I think if it stays standing, Cole, it really favors Figueiredo, man. I think Figueiredo has more power. This guy is a little bit fresher, and I think he's just packed more punch right now. So, interesting matchup for sure. I don't have an official pick by any means yet. We don't have to until February. But an interesting fight and a really good matchup and a sensible matchup that helped move on. So, there's a bunch of other fights I want to get to talk about here. But I want to talk about the news that the UFC's cut 11 fighters yesterday. Or they announced the release. They didn't all cut them yesterday specifically, but the last few weeks, these guys have been released, including one guy you mentioned at BJPenn.com a little while ago, Alan Crowder. He retired, but they obviously released him officially now, which makes sense. So I'm going to go through the list here, Cole. This is another guy I think had heard rumblings about, Sergio Moraes. There was a report recently. He's been cut. He of all the guys on the list, he has the best record in the UFC, 8-5-1. He did lose three fights in a row, but Cole, look at some of the wins that Moraes has in the UFC. Tim Means, Davey Ramos, Omari Akhmedov, Neil Magny. Like, this cuts a little questionable to me. What do you think?
Yeah, he's obviously been knocked out, I think, what, two of the last three, yeah. I think? Yeah, so he's obviously had a bit of a slide, but I think he's still one of the top fighters. Like, he has a lot of good wins. Like,
yep.
He's and the thing is, he puts on a lot of exciting fights. Like, he's a guy you can just throw on any like card, put him on the prelims. It's going to be an exciting fight. Like, I was surprised they cut him, but three losses in a row, like, that kind of seals like your fate in the UFC. But I think he's probably going to go Bellator, PFL, maybe PFL signed a lot of guys. Like, and really, wherever he goes, like, he's still going to be a guy to watch because he's still a good fighter and he just puts on exciting fights for fans to like.
Yeah, and I agree with that, especially in Brazil. Like, they love him down there. He does these, like, crazy entrances. I remember seeing him when I went to UFC 237. He got knocked by Warley Alves there, which obviously was not a good loss. And then he got knocked by James Carson's last fight. But the fans love him. So I know he's 37. He's a little bit older, but that record's pretty solid, 8-5-1. He's fought some pretty tough guys the last few fights. I feel like this is kind of a tough cut for the UFC. But like you said, Cole, that division is pretty stacked, and they have to start trimming the fat. And yeah, he is 37, so he's a little bit older. I think he goes to Bellator probably, or PFL is a good spot too. But Bellator, he fought there 10 years ago, and they can always use new fighters at welterweight. And even at middleweight, he could fight at middleweight as well. So I think that makes sense, but we'll see what happens there. Next guy, Zach Otto, 4-4 in the UFC. He has some good, nice wins as well. Mike Pyle, Josh Berkman, but he had a lot of losses. Alex Barone, Sage Northcutt, Li Jingliang, Marais. This one really could have went either way. I think they could have given another fight, but either way, whatever. Bellator, PFL makes sense for this guy too, I think.
Yeah, like, Otto, obviously, he's a guy, it's not a huge deal he gets cut. I wouldn't have been shocked. Like, I'm not surprised he got cut, but I wouldn't have been surprised if, say, yesterday, instead of them releasing him, he got booked against some guy off the Contender Series and kind of,
yeah, exactly,
like, this is your last fight. Like, if you lose this, you're done.
Yeah, that would have been a good spot too, just as a gatekeeper type, because he's obviously not a contender, but he did have some good wins. It is what it is. This isn't like a horrible cut by the UFC. It's, you know, he had a lot of chances. 4-4 is not going to cut it. We talked about Al Crowder, 1-2. He retired, but has been mutually released. Laura Mueller, 1-3. I think she probably ends up in Invicta. I wasn't too impressed with her run in the UFC. The same goes for Jason Gonzalez. He went 1-3, and Daryl Horsher, 1-3. No surprises with these three.
Yeah, no surprise. I wouldn't be surprised, like you said, Lauren goes to Invicta, wins a couple, and is honestly back in the UFC in like a year or two time. But she just needs more development. She didn't, she was missing a lot of skill set in the UFC. Like, I think Invicta would be good. She can fight like lower level competition. But Invicta still has a lot of good girls in there and build up. And even if she wins a belt there, that just kind of secures her as getting re-signed by the UFC.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, and then as far as those are the fighters that actually had a win in the UFC, now there's five that had no wins. Kurt Hallebaugh, I really like Kurt, but he went 0-4 through two different stints. But I will say this, like, this guy had a, man, tough opponents here. Like, Haoni Barcelos, Shane Burgos, and Thiago Moises. That's not an easy run. His last run, he lost to Steven Sadler, close fight. At the same time, the 0-4 is just not going to cut it. Boston Salmon, this guy was a top prospect at one point, Cole, and then loses back-to-back fights by first-round knockout to Randy Costa and Khalid Taha. Tay Edwards, another top prospect, lost to Darren Match, Nez Bermudez. Roston Ackman, lost to Sergey Kondotsko and Jake Matthews. Those four guys, they kind of had tough runs and tough opponents, but they didn't get wins, and you have to win a fight. And the last guy here is Alan Zuniga. He had one fight in the UFC, lost to John Gunther. That was like almost 2 years ago. Why, I don't even know how this guy was on the roster that long, to be completely honest. And I'm assuming these are, you know, not cuts you were surprised by.
No, like, the only one I was sort of surprised by is Boston Salmon, because the UFC really hyped him up. And two losses in a row, I thought they'd give him a third against, like, kind of like the lowest level they could find, but he's a guy I wouldn't be surprised in a year or two's time he's back in the UFC after getting some wins on the regional scene. The UFC seems to like him, but a lot of these guys are Contender Series guys, and I think it just shows that Dana White just gets too hyped over finishes on the Contender Series and doesn't really look at the fights, because a lot of those guys aren't winning their fights, and then they get a knockout, and then Dana White thinks, oh, the knockout's great, let's sign them, and then they kind of prove in the UFC they aren't up to UFC caliber. So I think that's what happened with, like, T. Edwards and Boston Salmon. But I'm not surprised by any of those guys getting cut, though.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Okay, so I mentioned there's a lot of fight announcements. There are. UFC Norfolk, we just mentioned that. Cole broke the news that the main event is going to be Joseph Benavidez versus Davison Figueiredo. Megan Anderson's fight against Zaren DeSantos or whatever. That fight's on that card. And now they've announced a few other fights, Cole. Alex Oliveira versus Mickey Gall. So, interesting fight here. Give me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Obviously, I think on the feet, I think Oliveira picks apart Gall all day. Go to the ground, it's going to be interesting to see if Gall can get a submission on it. Like, it's a weird fight. I thought they'd get Gall a winnable fight. I don't know if Oliveira is a winnable fight. It's hard to pick right now. I think it's hard to give a pick. I'd have to look more into it. I think it is a close fight. It could be an exciting fight, but I wouldn't be surprised if Gall, the fight's boring, and Gall just kind of brings it down to the ground, just kind of holds him there for three rounds.
Cowboy has a 9-6-1 no contest record in the UFC, including some really solid wins. Tim Means, Carlos Condit, Will Brooks. So some solid wins on his resume. He has lost 3 straight fights. A lot of people thought he should have won the Dolby fight. There was a really bad stand-up at the end of that fight. It is what it is. That's MMA. And then Nicky Gall, 5-2 record. His best win would probably be, I guess, Sage Northcutt. Like, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not too good. I don't know. Nicky Gall is, you know, a guy that the UFC's hyped up as well. Cool. I think he's got a good ground game, like we've talked about, but I think he's a little bit overrated too, man. I favor Oliveira, dude. I know he's coming off 3 losses here, but he's just a better fighter, in my opinion. If the fight does go to the ground, he could get tapped out, but as far as the stand-up goes, like, there's no doubt in my mind he's the much better fighter, much more accomplished.
Do you think it's a loser gets cut? Because they're both on a skid, and I wouldn't be surprised if the UFC just cut ties with Gall if he loses this one.
Gall's coming off a win over Salim Tuhari. So
yeah, that was not a good fight, though.
It wasn't. So maybe not him. And Salim Tuhari's probably a guy who's going to be cut, too. I don't know if he's been released, but he's going to be.
And the problem with Gall, too, is he gassed in that fight. Like, he was dead tired in, like, the second round. If that happens, it's Oliveira, like, Oliver's going to knock him out.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, Nicky Gall's a guy that, well, I actually had him in the last fight. I think he was an underdog. I liked him there. But overall, like, he's just an okay fighter. He was going to fight Carlos Condit. That fight would have been interesting. I actually think he had a good chance to win that fight just because Carlos is really on decline right now. But, yeah, I think if Cowboy loses, he'll be cut because 4 straight losses, you can't keep him around. Anyways, next fight here. This one's interesting, Cole. Middleweight bout, Brendan Allen against Tom Breeze. A little surprised they matched these two guys up because, like, they're both kind of on the come up a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting fight. I'm really high on Brendan Allen, but
yeah,
Tom Breeze, it's so hard because every fight, like, he always has that anxiety. He pulled out of the Ian Hynes fight at UFC London. It didn't, like, that's kind of a worry for a lot of people, is will he make it to the octagon? But if the fight happens, it should be, it's kind of seeing, like, who's a better prospect at middleweight, who's going to get, like, right near a rankings guy next. But I'm high on Allen, but Breeze, like, he's just been away from fighting for so, like, I think it's been over a year now. So it's going to be interesting to see what he looks like, but Breeze is always a guy that's a tough guy to put out.
Yeah, this is not an easy fight, like you mentioned. Tom Breeze is a really good fighter for sure. But Brendan Allen is a very solid prospect, man. He's looked good, coming off a nice win over Kevin Holland, solid win. I don't know, tough one to call. I honestly favor Allen a little bit. I just think this kid is the real deal. But Breeze, like you said, is very dangerous as well. I'm a little surprised they matched these guys up. Like, you don't see two guys kind of on the rise being matched up that often, but it is what it is again. And then what else do we have here? There's one more fight from Norfolk. Gabriel Silva against Kyler Phillips. What do you know about these guys?
Well, Kyler Phillips is coming off a really nice knock win in LFA, but I don't think he should be in the UFC. He lost to a split to Victor Henry. He was on the Contender Series. He lost a majority, I think, or a split to Katona. It was a really close fight.
Gabriel Silva, Ultimate Fighter. I'm just looking.
Yeah, away. Yeah. Yep. Gabriel Silva's coming off that loss to Ray Borg. Mm-hmm. I don't really think either of them are UFC caliber. I think it's gonna be a close fight. I don't even know who would be favored. I'd probably favor just Phillips. He has more experience. He was on the Contender Series. He was on the Ultimate Fighter. He has wins in LFA. Like, he has a lot of knockout power, so he could finish this fight. But it's probably going to open the Norfolk card, and I don't really know if either of them are UFC caliber at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. This one is another fight that probably can go either way here. I need to look into these guys a little bit more. Not enough experience in the UFC to really make a solid prediction here, but maybe Phillips a little bit. UFC 248, there's one fight that's been announced. It's a big one. Robert Whittaker against Jared Cannonier. Interesting fight. I thought they were going to do the Darren Till fights. Now I'm thinking they'd probably do Darren Till versus Jack Hermanson. That seems like the fight for Europe. For the London card. That'll probably be in the London card, I think, I guess. This fight's good. Really good fight for sure. So give me your thoughts, man, because I know you were obviously pretty close to both guys. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, it's just talking to both guys and their managers. I got this Cannonier and his team really wanted this fight. They think they have a really good style to beat Whittaker, and I think if they beat Whittaker, that just secures them title shot against Adesanya. for Whitaker, I wouldn't be surprised if he beats Cannonier, he gets a rematch against Adesanya. Like, he's still one of the best middleweights. He's still right up there. He's still young, but I am surprised it didn't do Whitaker-Till. Whitaker and Till were going at it on social media, calling each other out. Cannonier and Whitaker weren't calling each other out. They didn't have anything calling each other out in interviews. I guess they just kind of wanted Till to slow build up, and that's kind of what Hermanson is. But Hermanson's going to be a tough matchup for him if that's the fight booked. I don't know who I'd pick for this one yet, because Whitaker Cannonier, he's obviously surprised a lot of us. That Hermanson fight was really impressive. He stuffed all the takedowns and knocked Hermanson out. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. It's a close fight. I don't even know who I'd favor. I imagine it stays mostly on the feet, and I don't think either of them will be able to knock each other out, but I think it's going to be a great fight on that card.
Yeah, it's a really good fight for sure. Interesting one stylistically, because both guys tend to want to stand and trade. So I think this one's going to take place in the feet. They both have tons of knock power. For some, you know, people are going to say Jared's got more knockout power. I don't really agree with that. I mean, look at the people Robert Whitaker's knocked out. He's knocked out a lot of guys. So I actually think Whitaker probably has more knockout power and more speed and precision, but he is coming off a bad knockout loss, man, like recently to Israel. So that could play a factor in here. He obviously has been dealing with a lot of injuries too, and Jared's on like a nice roll right now, and momentum's a huge part of MMA. Tough one to call, Cole. I honestly have no idea. I guess I probably lean towards Robert Whitaker a little bit just because he's the younger guy. He's more experienced against like elite level competition. But man, Jared is really solid, and he's coming off a nice win. To be honest, Cole, like, he's a guy that I've kind of slept on a little bit, but I respect him a lot now. So this is a tough fight to call for sure. My lean would be a little bit towards Whitaker, but like, I gotta wait and see how the line.
It's crazy they're going back to Vegas, because obviously it's back in T-Mobile. So they're doing T-Mobile in December, January, March.
That's crazy. I was talking with Aaron yesterday. Like, I'm surprised they're doing so many events there.
And this card is already shaping up to be nice, because this is probably going to be the third fight. Joanna Zhang's probably won't be the main event. That's probably going to be co-main. Yeah, you're probably going to have Israel defending his belt as the main. Yeah. Like, that's a really good. Yeah. And it makes sense to have this fight, because whoever Israel defends against, I think booking this fight kind of cements Romero Israel.
I agree. I mean, I'm not sure, unless they give it to Till, but I don't know if that's the right move. They just want to throw Till in there and think it's a big pay-per-view, maybe, but it's probably going to be Romero, if I had to guess. Too bad Costa's hurt, but it is what it is.
Then it's good, too, if Romero misses weight, you got, I think Cannonier's probably the backup. I don't think they do Whitaker Adesanya, too, right away.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Okay, let's switch gears to UFC Rio Rancho, another fight card that has a bunch of fights announced. There's four fights here. John Dodson versus Nathaniel Wood. Little surprised by this booking, but because I just thought that they put Nathaniel Wood in the London card, if anything. So they're going to put him in New Mexico here against John Dodson, who's I think he's still Jackson Wink. He was there for forever, assuming he's still there. You got to favor Nathaniel Wood here, right?
Yeah, I get why it is in New Mexico, because obviously John Dodson's the ranked guy. He's from New Mexico. I think it's Wood's trying to get in the rankings. I think he should go into someone's backyard, but you got to favor Nathaniel Wood. I'm really high on Nathaniel Wood. Yeah.
This kid's awesome. 16-3 record, 8 fight win streak, and he's 3-0 in the UFC with 3 wins by stoppage. The only thing about him is, like, I feel like he's going backwards as far as like his, until now, as far as like his level of competition was going, because he started his UFC career against Johnny Eduardo, who used to be a really like good fighter, and then Andre Ewell, and then Jose Quinona. So it's like he was going backwards. Now he's going up again by fighting Dodson. So this is a chance to break in the rankings. I think he wins this fight, man. John Dodson, he's just not the same guy he once was. He's 35 now, Cole, coming off back-to-back losses. To be fair, against Petr Yan and Jimmy Rivera, he did beat Pedro Munoz last year, so he has a nice win there, but I just think he is on the decline. And honestly, like, I don't think the UFC is too impressed with John Dodson. A lot of his fights go like to decision. He doesn't finish fights anymore, and they're not too exciting, to be completely honest with you. He has one finish in the last 5 years, so that's not too good. The other fights, I love this fight, Cole. Yancy Medeiros against Landon Venata. Oh, man, that's fight of the night, written all over.
This is going to be a sweep. I don't even know who I favor. This is like, I honestly want to see the odds. I think the odds are just going to open as a pick'em. I think it'll probably open as a pick'em, or one is like a very slight favorite. But this is a sweet fight. Both guys bring it. Obviously, Yancy, is his last fight the Gregor loss? I think that's the last time he fought, right?
Yeah, it was. It was last January.
So
he only fights like once a year now, which sucks. Yeah.
But him and Lando are both kind of guys that it doesn't matter if they lose. I think their stock still goes up when they lose, because they just put on really exciting fights. They both bring it. I think this is probably the shoe-in for the fight of the night for this card already.
Yeah, both guys are extremely exciting fighters. Great fight. I honestly lean a little bit towards Yancey because I think he is the better fighter. But, man, he takes a lot of damage, and he's not that durable. So that's an issue with him, but definitely a good fighter, Cole. A fun one. This one's not bad either. Scott Holtzman against Jim Miller. Not a bad little fight. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I like Scott Holtzman this fight. I think Miller impressed me. I thought he was going to lose to Guida, and then he knocked out Guida. But he was rocked in that fight. I think Holtzman has more power than Guida. And if Guida rocked him, I think Holtzman can rock him. And Holtzman dominated his last fight, and he's looked good as of late. He's still up there in age. It's kind of two veterans going at it, but Holtzman's trying to climb up the rankings, and I think a win over Miller might get him like a 15th or 14th ranked guy next, but I favor Holtzman in this one early.
Yeah, the crazy thing is they're like the same age, but Jim Miller's been fighting way longer and at a higher level. I got to favor Jim Miller just based on the experience, man. But yeah, definitely an interesting fight. Holtzman's tough. Good fight. And the last one, Casey Kenney against Mirab Dvalishvili. I think that – is that a band? That's Bantamweight or Feather?
Bantamweight.
Yeah. Who do you like there?
Yeah, it's a close fight. Just a quick shout-out. Our buddy we work with, Mike Heck, broke this one. So this is obviously a good fight.
I didn't know that. Okay, good job, Mike. I didn't see that. Okay. Yeah,
this is a really good fight. Casey Kenney's really impressed me in the UFC. He's looked really good. That win over Bermudez was really impressive. I thought Bermudez was going to submit Kenney. Kenny's looked impressed since he's gotten the UFC. Murab's a tough guy, though. He's one of those sleeper guys at Bantamweight that people don't really think of as a future top 15 guy. I really like his matchmaking. Bantamweight's a really deep division. It's a division not many people talk about. Everyone talks about lightweight and welterweight being so stacked. I think Bantamweight's right up there for being most stacked. Like, any guys out of the rankings are really good. I think this is a fight. They're trying to figure out who's the better prospect. Winner of this is going to get a ranked guy next. And I'd probably favor Kenny slightly, but I would still, like, that's not a confident pick at all right now.
Yeah, that's kind of, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling the same, but Mirab is a guy I respect, and he puts on close fights. All right, that's all I want to talk about today, Cole, unless there's anything else that we forgot to mention. Is there anything?
Something I did want to touch on is we didn't get a chance on the podcast yesterday. Is what do you think of, I know you talked about it already, but I haven't talked with you. What do you think of Rory McDonald going to PFL?
Yeah, I have talked about this in the podcast the last couple of days. You know, my thoughts don't really change too much from what I mentioned. It's a big sign for PFL, no doubt about it. I was talking to Chamakar yesterday. He does work for PFL. He says they're all really excited. And by the way, he did tease some more big signings for PFL. And what you've heard, Cole, yourself, is that they're planning on going all in for the third season. You know, I even told Chamakar, I'm like, I know you work for PFL, and you're saying they're doing well, but like, as someone on the outside looking in, like, I look at the ratings, I look at the numbers, the attendance, the gate, it's not good. But he said, you know what, we're doing great, and the investors are backing us right now, and there's a lot of money to be spent. So he's teasing some more big signings. I don't know who those are going to be. I'm not 100% sure who are free agents right now, but I would expect some guys there, you know, maybe unhappy. And you've seen Bellator to be part of that third season. Like I said, Cole, you know, I think Rory's not the same guy he once was. It's a good signing, though. He will be favored. I was talking about the other guys. He will be favored. We all agree that he should be the favorite to win. But at the same time, I think personally, like, Magomed Karamov.
Oh, I think he'd beat Rory.
I think Ray Cooper can knock out Rory McDonald too. So, interesting signing for sure, and a good signing for them. But I just think people need to have like lowered expectations. He's not the same guy once was. Just give me your thoughts, and we'll get out of here.
Well, yeah, I think PFL. I think they obviously have a lot of investors, but I think their two seasons. I think this first season was really exciting. They had a lot of good attendance, a lot of good ratings. The second season, I think the problem with them is they brought back basically the same group of fighters with like two or three different ones. So people weren't interested because they already saw it. And then the way the format works, you're seeing people fight two or three times in the same year against each other. But I think investors, to me, I have no information about this, but just me looking at this, like people tell me they're going all in. I think that means investors kind of want to see a return on their money. And they say, like, you got to make this, like, get better ratings, get that. Because I'm pretty sure they only signed with ESPN for 2 years. And I don't think they signed a long deal with ESPN. I think it's only 2 or 3 years. So if it's 2 years, season three is their second year. ESPN has to see better ratings for them to pick them up again.
Yeah, that's what Chamakar said. He's like, you know, they have next year, and then, you know, 2021 could be somewhere else. He doesn't know. But he thinks they'll stick around for a while. I got to, you know, listen to what he said, because he does work for them, and he's privy to, like, some more information. He didn't give us too much. Like, he can't say a lot, obviously, because I'm sure he's under – contract that he can't say, like, reveal this kind of stuff. But he just said they're to expect more signings, and he did say they have a lot of money they have right now to spend. So that was a little surprising to me. But you know what, Cole? I was skeptical that the checks were going to clear for that first.
Me too.
And they cleared 2 weeks later. Lance Palmer talked about it. He said 2 weeks later, got a check in the mail for $1 million minus taxes or whatever. Or actually, he got $1 million. He had to do the taxes on himself. Cole, let's get out of here, man. Go ahead and plug yourself.
Twitter at ColeShell91. Article up on Beach Fender now. I talked to Peter Yan about his fight with Faber. I also one or two more comment about him really trash talking Garbrandt. He went in on Cody Garbrandt because I think that's a fight that could happen in the future as long as Garbrandt wins. But I think other than that, like, just everything's on my Twitter as always.
Good stuff. All right, my voice is going down. I did like seven podcasts. I'm done, man. On Twitter at MMetamartin, MAOddsBreaker.com, BJPenn.com, MMArings.net. Podcast is a lot of places, guys. Thanks, Cole, for coming on the show today. Guys, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back Monday. I'll be doing podcasts all week, including on Christmas Day, because I don't take a day off. So, guys, I'll be back next week on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the fights this weekend. UFC Korea, Bellator, Salute Troops, Bellator 236. Guys, have a good one. See you later. Bye.